There's a lot of people pointing at barbershops because everyone's self-employed, that you can't employ apprentices, and blaming the storekeepers, if you like, for not bringing them in. I don't think the colleges are really not playing ball in the modern era.
Yeah, we always try and maintain having apprentices.
The problem we're finding, all the local colleges, they're not doing barbering anymore. And I'm struggling to find accredited places for doing the actual training now. It's a bit of a shame for the industry, really.
That happens on these episodes, that we get a couple of people who are matey.
You've got to have someone that leads you astray, haven't you?
Hey.
Oh, come on, mate.
There we go.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I am here, we are at Captain Fawcett HQ in Norfolk, and we are in his magnificent boardroom. I'm here with the lovely Dan Ricks, Master Barber from Southport. I always get Southport and Stockport mixed up. Sorry, I know they're very different. And obviously, I'm here with Baldy from Baldy's.
Hello.
Where is it? Where is Baldy's?
It's in Aylesbury.
Aylesbury. I can never remember that. I was thinking about, in my head, you're always Milton Keynes because there's the big Milton Keynes sign on
there. Yeah, that's where it came from.
But I knew it was wrong. I'm really pleased to have you guys on. The big thing for me is that you've got this really lovely friendship. You're good mates, you're industry bods. You've been around the block a little while. You have great reputations. So I just thought it would actually be really nice just to not really have an agenda, but just talk about you two as friends, as industry, as proper traditional men's grooming barbershops. That sounds like a nice episode to me.
Obviously, I came across Dan because I was judging his shop. But yours and your dad's,
existing one now, the same shop you're in.
Because your dad still works, doesn't he?
Yeah, 78 next month.
Yeah.
He still runs full column.
So I was judging for the British Hairdressing Business Awards. And their entry every year was absolutely amazing. It's like it just stands out their whole shop, everything from the products they sell to the work they do to their client base and everything. And it's absolutely amazing because it runs so different to me. To mine.
The chaos that is your company.
The chaos that is me. But we've been friends ever since then.
Oh, cool.
So that's how it's worked. And then obviously,
well, through different routes. And then we end up on motorbikes doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what we're into are. Third year, fourth year?
Yeah. 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 So it's just changed. Every time we meet on something else, you know what I mean? So like we worked for American Crew together, did that for a while. Then we didn't see each other for a little while. Then it was the motorbikes. So it's just continued, you know. So it's always stayed as a friendship.
And you were aware of Baldy before the competition, before him judging, or was it really over?
I know I was aware of him industry-wise because I'd seen you met you at the show at the salon and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was as you were Andy's showing at that point.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And Barber Connect when it was in Wales.
Yeah, yeah. All the way back then.
Yeah,
when it was at Celtic Manor.
Yeah. So we kind of knew each other loosely at that. You know, I think my dad knew you and Kevin.
Yeah,
Kevin Vorley. And,
yeah.
So I'd be with my old man, and I'd get introduced to you, and you know, just run from there really.
So why is your shop so well run then? So what was it that made you, what do you think is an important part at the heart of your business, or what do you think you judged him so well on all those years ago?
I think I run it as a retailer.
Yeah.
Because it's half retail and half barbershop. So
retail is as in hair care products.
Or and male grooming products, yeah. So it's almost like the old Arkwright, so open all hours. It's you know, you have that mentality as a shopkeeper as well as being a barber.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how different we are, because he's massive on retail and I hardly do any retail. And you can be so far apart, could you? Like, yours is massive,
because we won the retail salon of the year with HJ as well. We were the first barbershop to.
And is it a variety of products?
Or multi-branded. I do a lot of stuff from German Street and around Mayfair in London. But then I'll do things like Rusal, Captain Fawcett's, Crew. So you get your generic products, but I also, if you can get it in a supermarket or on the high street, I don't want to sell it.
Yeah.
I do a lot of German products, specialist razors and things like that, and shaving products. Kind of become the go-to place in, I suppose, the north of England for buying shaving products from. So, you know.
And that's all in person, or are you on site, are you website selling as well?
Yeah, I do e-commerce as well. Yeah. I'm not very savvy on that one, if I'm honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. We do. Yeah, it's worthwhile running it, but I haven't, because when you're on the tools all day and you're actually cutting hair,
yeah,
you haven't got the time to be running that element as well. So you almost need someone behind the scenes to be doing that for you.
Yeah. But both of you are still on the tools. You're both behind the chairs.
Yeah, completely.
And, you know, 40 plus years behind the chair. Youngster.
15 years. Well, I had a career change, so that's how I jumped into it.
Yeah. Yes, you were normally on the other side of the camera here.
Yeah, I worked in television for a long time, so 25 years in TV.
I couldn't imagine not cutting hair.
We were having this conversation up. Luke's convinced that I need to retire because I'm a very old man. He can't get his head around the fact that I still get up and go to work.
I'm an old man. It's actually my birthday.
Oh, it's my birthday today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so I'm an old man.
Happy birthday.
I keep forgetting it's your birthday.
I think this is probably our first birthday guest, isn't it? I don't remember.
It's actually.
Well done.
Happy birthday to you. Cheers, guys. Come on.
But why, I mean, where does the energy come, though, to still run your companies? You know, you must have hit the bumps in the road, certainly in the years that you've had it, both of you. You've hit the bumps and the lumps.
Yeah. We've got a long lease and we've got the rent to pay, so you keep going there.
Yeah.
It's simple as, you know.
To be fair, I don't know if I could afford to retire.
Right.
Honestly.
But you seem to still enjoy it. There seems to be, I don't know you as well, Dan, so forgive me, but you seem to kind of reinvent yourself every now and again. You tend to kind of go Baldy 2.0 or 3.0. There seems to be this new, every time I come up and encounter you, there's something else has changed in your world.
Yeah, I think you have to a degree, don't you? So I think each time you have to move forward. Like we spoke about it before, haven't we? Where, like, whether it be your shop or whether it be you or whatever. But I think you have to move forward and change and transition and evolve, if you like, with time. Because regardless of whether that be social media or, like we were talking just now about collections or doing magazine stuff, just in general for your business, you know, I'm behind the chair more than I'm not. You know, 5 days a week, one of those days is 9 till 9 at night. And I've still got that business going after all that time. Like, I had my first shop was like 32 years ago. So if you sit back on it and you don't evolve, then your business is going to crumble at some point, isn't it? Because you're not moving forward at any point.
And I think if you get bored, everyone around you gets bored quite quickly.
Yeah.
Well. I think your clients, your staff, everyone will.
I think what I find works is regenerating with younger barbers. So when you've got like younger barbers in your shop, you sort of, everyone judges you by them as well, if you like. So it keeps me younger because they're like, oh, we've got to be better than him. And I'm like, I'm going to be better than you. So it keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know? And
Does that resonate
that
with you? Do you find if you look at your company over since 2011 and your career, has there changed? What keeps you fresh and interested in your business?
I try and keep my staff involved with having the TV and the photography background as well. I try and keep the staff involved with doing shoots.
Yeah, you were saying because you don't really have a ring light, you don't do Insta pictures in the shop, but if you find something that you're liking, that will turn into a studio shoot.
Yeah, I'd prefer to get it under, an editor's nose to see it in print. And I think having that copy of the magazine, Barber Evo, Modern Barb, I don't know if you're affiliated with anyone, so sorry for mentioning everyone.
No, they're all there. They're good.
If your customers see your work in there and your staff in there as well, I want the staff to come on the journey. It's not about me. It's not about the business. It's about all of them. Same when we've been on stage, use them as an art team, bring them through the ranks. I've had apprentices prepping for us, getting us out on stage. Just get everybody involved so they can see the full journey. And I think they get that sense of achievement as well, which is good for us, you know, and it keeps them interested. They're not just coming to work and cutting hair. They know that there's a bigger picture to what they can get out of this, you know.
Yeah, it is all
that. And when, you know, if I, say a member of staff's leaving, they know that they've got a portfolio they can leave with as well, and they've got published work.
But it is nice for your customers. You know, yeah. Your customers go through the magazines or whatever, and they're like, oh, you're in that one again.
Yeah. But I am actually. You had a great success. Where did I see you? Where were we? Were we Barber Connect? And didn't your young lad suddenly do Alfie.
So was it two years in a row? I think he did his first one. He came runner up.
You remember this?
Student of the year. And then this year, 2 years in, he won rookie of the year. But he hadn't entered as such. So what happened was someone dropped out. He was there and they went, do you fancy doing a competition? And he was like, yeah, all right. So he literally had to borrow gear to do it, grab someone out of the audience as a model, went and done it, and then and he won it.
Amazing. Fantastic. You know, so, he's all been trained by you, by
Borders. Yeah.
By you or by the team?
By me. So
is that all just in the shop?
Yeah, the shop. We make sure that they go through college as well. In line with it, but most of his training is all done shop floor wise. And he's done so well. He's good. He's going to get better and better and better to the point where I'm like, I want you to be better than me, but I don't. But he's absolutely smashing it. He's done so well.
Do you train? Have you got staff that you've brought through?
Yeah, we always try and maintain having apprentices. So I do NHF apprenticeships and then obviously through college as well. The problem we're finding, all the local colleges seem to stop, they're not doing barbering anymore. And I'm struggling to find accredited places for doing the actual training there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a shame for the industry, really.
I mean, we've just found, obviously, you know, we've been at certain meetings where it's been spoke about, and a lot of shops, it's affordability at the minute. With the fact that minimum wage and national insurance has gone up sky high, and it's like, as a shop, like, can I afford to do that for that time period?
Exactly that. We're out
of my pocket.
We're in our first period without an apprentice.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a junior coming through the ranks.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking an apprentice on now. We've never had that.
Yeah.
Was it £10 an hour?
We're the same.
You know, it's just shy of £400 a week, isn't it?
Yeah. And especially anyone older coming into it, it's £12.21.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. It is expensive when you're getting very little back.
Yeah.
We did a great episode with the educators from Belfast Metropolitan College. Have a look at that. I was blown away. It was incredible. And they have a system where you do it in college for 9 months a year, but you do it 3 days a week.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And then they encourage you to work in a barber's the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Or if you're older, you can go and work in a bar, restaurant, pub, and so you can kind of subsidise your salary a little bit while you're learning your barber in there 3 days. We don't seem to be making it easy. I do think there's a lot of people pointing at barbershops because everyone's self-employed, that you can't employ apprentices, and blaming the storekeepers, if you like, for not bringing them in. But I don't think the colleges are really not playing ball in the modern era. They're playing, I don't know what era they were, but it was 40, it was a bloody long time ago.
But it's not the case of the shop owners and stuff like that, because obviously we've done it for years, time and time and time again. You know, I can literally name loads of shops in my area from people that have come through our shop. You know, and they now have their own businesses. And they're all doing really well, which is good for me. I'm proud of what they've achieved, you know, and they've helped me go along the way as we've gone. But so we've always done it. So it's definitely not to do with us. It's now just a question of affordability. And the fact that we don't get any help with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're not getting that support from college. You do have to do all the training yourself. Yeah. If you're training, you're moving yourself away from your chair.
Yeah.
So really it's a really sticky one that you got. I've never known so many guys and young women wanting to come into the industry ever. Never known so many. But I can't see how the industry is working it. I spoke to Adam Sloan and he was saying, you know, I've had to turn 20-odd apprentices down because I can't get them a placement.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but his, you know, his area in college is doing really well.
Yeah.
But you come to other areas, you know, certainly where I am in London, the college is awful.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't dream of doing it. You know, we've got our apprentice part-time with us, part-time at the London School of Barbering.
Yeah.
Just see, so we're getting that support.
We've done that before where we've taken, like, someone that's literally just finished their course at London School of Barbering, and then I'm like, right, okay, we'll take you on as, like, as a trainee, as such, and finish off.
And get them shop ready.
Yeah. And finish off that process.
Yeah.
And that works because, you know, they've gone through, and then we set them up with, like, you know, we do new barber rates in the shop. So they charge less. And they start to build up from there, you know, and that seems to work.
Yeah. We did exactly the same thing with that as well. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm quite happy with that because they've got a basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can, like, get them going how they should be.
But it definitely seems it's not won't, it is can't, I think. We're all finding it much more difficult. And then, you know, you end up with an industry that's got, doesn't have any of these people who've been trading 2 or 3 years. You know, every ad you see is, you know, must have 2-3 years experience.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not out there. And if they are, they're not jumping around on the back of an advert.
No.
No, it's a very strange one. Do you employ your staff or are they self-employed?
Employed, yeah. Yeah, so all on an employed basis.
And has that been a long-term thing?
Yeah. We tried chair rental years ago, but it doesn't pull anything. Rental prices seem to have gone down as well. You just can't hit your rents when you...
Well, that's the problem, though, I think. You do come down to the fact if your building is affordable, it's just where your income comes from.
You start thinking about it. You've got your salaried, commission, pension, and your national insurance contribution.
Hmm.
There's not a lot left, is there? You know?
No, stick a month's holiday on it. It all does start getting very expensive.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But moving into more positive light, because one of the things I do want is I'm intrigued by, if I look at certainly this month's Modern Barber magazine, really high quality imagery in there. We're producing some amazing quality images. And yeah, a lot of it there's so much on Insta that we sweep through and sweep through. But you two are a bit more, you know, you're proper old school, and we'll get in there and submit collections to magazines and go through that process, which is, as you can see from this month's issue, and Barber Evo the same, great quality imagery coming through up there, like really good quality.
Yeah.
Why do you think you two did so well? Why has that been such a conviction for you that you make that effort to go into the studio, find models, go through the expense of a proper shoot rather than ring light and a snap?
I think a lot of ours, we do we sort of delve into subculture. You know, the fashions of the 70s, the 60s, the 80s. And you look at the haircuts that are involved in that. Try not to stay. I'm an old guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're a traditionalist at the end of the day. So for us, we look back on when tribes existed, as I say, music scenes and fashion scenes, and just kind of drag that back into it, really. Mod shoots, rockabilly shoots, etc. I mean, I did one with them. My oldest model was 76. I don't know if you remember that. It was the bikers that I did.
Yeah.
And it was the hair and the beard.
Yeah.
You know, these were... I got dragged up because I called it the 1%, and somebody said, you're maybe not supposed to call it that. Well, I was trying to, it was the 1% of society that's not represented. Rather than it being, you know, a good looking model and stuff, I just wanted the man in the street. I wanted the oily rag, basically. Yeah. And I ended up putting them on the stage, on the fellowship stage.
Yeah, it was Manchester, really good imagery as well, though.
And we worked on them on the fellowship stage, and it was just a bit different to see these old boys being worked upon, you know. So we just try and do things that are a little bit different every time, you know. I don't want to walk the walk. I want to just kind of drift away from it a little bit, you know.
I think the key is, and it does get difficult, but you try and get a different image each time. Like I could go and do one a week, or you know, one a month, and go right. Okay, I'm going to have this photographed or that, but it's going to be fairly standard, right? It'll be good imagery, and it would probably get published, but I want something that's different, that's going to stand out in its own right. So I'm always trying to, you know, break the mold a little bit each time I do something. So there's, all of mine have always been completely different every time. And I'm like, I want that image that people go, why has he done that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But is this the kind of old school factor of, you know, you kind of, you get your best results out of being in an uncomfortable place? I always think I always gain and learn more if I'm uncomfortable.
My first published work was coursework from doing level 4 when that used to exist.
Oh, right.
And you had to do a photo shoot with
it. Oh, my gosh,
and
right.
Having a background in TV, you had to build a full production diary for it, do the shoot, break all the budget down, find the models, etc. And I thought, well, I've done that for 20 years. Yeah. I don't know how to do all that stuff. So I incorporated that into a barbering project, basically. And then I had to do a presentation with the models. And by the end of the presentation, I'd contacted a modern barber when Rachel was running it back in the day and sent them through on Dropbox or WeTransfer. And she was like, I'll run them. And that was my first publication as a student.
Wow.
And then that went into National Hairdressers Federation, Best of British, and got like second or third place in that. So I thought that I'm kind of incorporating one industry into the other industry and it's working.
Mm.
So I used my creative element of television into my barbering industry. And I've just run with it from there and it just works basically.
Well, I think that's the bit. It does allow you as a creative to dip in, because let's face facts, when you're behind the chair, you've got your clientele.
Yeah.
And the majority of clientele come in because you do what you do to their hair really, really well. I don't have a lot of guys that come in that show me outlandish, outrageous, interesting. A lot of it's quite, you know, I mean, hey, it's done well, but it's quite samey.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're just shooting your clients again and again, it's nice to find yourself in a more extreme space where you can go, actually, you know what, I really want to kind of have another look at reinventing the kind of, you know, Britpop thing or the rockabilly thing. I want to really look back at early mods, or I want to look at the beginning of Bowie in the 70s, or whatever it is that you're finding an influence that appeals to you.
Yeah.
And updating, making it current, making it fit with you. And that's a nice place
plagiarizing
to be
what
creative.
Took place. It's you putting your own twist on it, basically.
And bringing it into a kind of current thing. You know, we've just seen the mullet make a comeback. Yeah. You know, the mullet, nobody, I haven't seen anyone wandering around with a Pat Sharp 1989-93 mullet.
I've got lad that plays rugby, no joke. His mullet is somewhere halfway down his back now. No.
Why would it be Baldy like, does the most extreme mullet?
He's like, I'm not cutting it off. And I'm like, it's got too long. And he's like, just take some weight out of it. I'm keeping the length. And I'm like, all right.
But it's back, and the mullet is different. You know, I mean, hey, for someone who cut the mullet first time round, you know, it is different. It is upgraded. We're seeing an awful lot of, I mean, we're seeing some pristine Oasis t-shirts and bucket hats being wandering around out there. But even those kind of early Liam Noel haircuts are coming back, but updated for now. You know, and I think that's the bit where it starts helping you get kind of vent your creative bone a little bit, that you can step away from being behind the chair and be more theatrical or be more creative.
I think that's the thing. You can do a haircut, like I said before, and you can get a great image from it. But I think you have to look at the whole concept of what you're doing as a shoot. So, like, I'll do a mood board and I'll go, right, I've got this idea. I really want to do this. So my last one was, like, obviously we did the feather boas and all that and netted gloves on guys and all this. And some of the shots, we put makeup on them and then sprayed them with water so it looked like they'd been crying and stuff like that. Some of the models, like my son, didn't want that out in the open. He was like, no, don't use that, please. And I was like, all right, okay. But I had to put my original concept on a back burner. And I'll tell you what, I don't talk about things a lot, but so my original concept was I wanted to do like padded cells, straight jackets, this and the other. But obviously, because there's such a big thing about mental health,
I
couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I was like, I want to, because I think it'd be absolutely awesome imagery, you know. And I thought, I haven't seen that, no one's done it, I want to do it.
Yeah.
But because of everything around mental health, I was like, I can't do it. So what, we'll go with feather boas. But I'm always constantly thinking, what can I do that's going to stand out different to anything else that anyone else is doing? You know, so there's always something. Like, I've already got the next one planned. I know what it is. It's in my head. I've spoke about it. I've sourced certain people for it and this and the other. So you're always planning what you're going to do, but it's always going to be something different to someone else's.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really important.
I think that creative bit is the big thing that's kept me kind of interested in the industry.
I mean, you're talking about, sorry, you're talking about your mood boards and your prepping.
Yeah.
And we were on the Barbers Ride last year and we were chatting about this, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
And I was shocked how much sort of research and work you put into that, your prep work. And I think my last one published was, my lads had just finished their GCSEs. They come into the shop with their mates and they all looked a little bit surfy. So I said, right, you cut his hair, and I'll cut his hair. Right. And the clothes they were wearing, I said, right, come outside. And I took them up to an old rickety fire escape.
I remember.
At the back of the shop. And I took the photographs on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And then, right, send, done.
Wow.
So it's, you can prep them and prep them.
Yeah.
Or you get those projects that just come, you know,
yes.
That person's right at the moment. Yeah. And they're all in the shop. Yeah. Talk them all into a haircut.
Like we spoke about this. We was out in Germany, weren't we, last year? Yeah. And we were talking about it, and he said, how do you go about yours? And I was like, I do this. And he said he did a spur of the moment one. And I was like, that's really cool. And I saw the images. They were fantastic. But I was like, you know, I prep everything. I have an idea. It works from that. And then, like, I use Liam Oakes, right? So Liam's a fantastic photographer. And I'll bounce things off him. And I'll go, is this possible, do you think? What do you think? And he'll go, yeah, or maybe not, or whatever. And then I'll work on it from there. But I'll try and involve him a little bit because I know what sort of image he's going to be able to get from it. And then other times he'll just play around with lights and stuff like that and do something totally different that I'm not expecting from the shoot, you know. So, I've learned to prep. I didn't originally. When I did stage work and stuff, I used to go and do a full haircut. Like, there was no prep. I'd literally bang out everything from start to finish on stage. People going, why are you doing a full haircut? I was like, what? They're like, don't you prep? And I was like, prep? What's prepping? And obviously, then you learn to prep stuff and this, that, and other, and you can do all sorts of things.
I love that story. I mean, I must admit, I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours one day in a studio, nothing. We didn't like any of it. And the photographer, which was Alex Baron-Hoff.
Yeah.
Went, let's go outside. And we literally went around the corner, stood on the side of the Thames. All the hair that we spent ages doing perfectly started blowing around.
Yeah.
Just got a great set of pictures. And why do I do this? But going on stage, you say, that's really interesting because I didn't realise you'd both done stage work, but not together.
No. I don't think we have we?
No. Not together, no.
Are you both doing it? Because you're not doing any stage work at present, are you? Are you working on, have you done any stage work this year?
No.
You missing it, or are you quite happy to not?
Quandary, isn't it?
Are you still doing something? Or have you not been on for a while?
I've not been to a hair show for a long time.
Have you not?
No, I kind of lost
my mojo deflated
after COVID, I think.
And
it took a while to get back into the swing of things, you know?
Okay.
I think the whole period of time after that was just getting the business back up and running.
Yeah.
And just knuckled down with that, really. The next sort of 12 months, we'll steer back towards that sort of thing.
We've seen it on your show card.
We've still done shoots in the meantime. I don't think there's been any stage work for a while.
I really enjoyed this year, to be fair.
Because I saw you wandering around at things you're right. Yeah. I've never done. I haven't done this.
Yeah, I've never done it. So I was like, I went to Connect, and it was like I spent all weekend wandering around, watching stuff, speaking to people, networking, you know, and that was fantastic. And I was like, this is so cool, isn't it? Because when you're working it, you don't get any time. Like the first time I did, I think, on the couch at Barber Connect the year before, you was like, have you got 10 minutes? Yeah. And I was like, now it's my lunch break. In the sofa, do a bit for you or whatever, go off. Back on stage, and it's just continuous. So you don't get a chance to look around or speak to people or go and watch someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always good. I love doing that. You know, just go and watch someone cut hair. And that's what I love about it. But it was really good this year. I really thoroughly enjoyed my time just like chilling out. See, everyone was like, are you, what are you doing today? And I'm like, Nothing. Great.
Were you at Connect? Did you go?
I'm not allowed to go anymore because it drops the weekend of my son's birthday. Son's birthday and wife's birthday. And if I just say I'm off to do work stuff, it just won't go down too well, you know?
So you're in trouble.
It purely depends on how the day
is. It's bad enough that he goes off on Barber's Ride on his birthday. You know what I mean?
It's business, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's your birthday, not their birthday. Yeah, that's the important one. Yeah. Have you enjoyed Barber Ride this year?
Yeah, do you know what?
We're only on day one, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've only just got this Harley because I haven't ridden Harleys before, have I? So it's like, and he keeps saying, oh, you need a Harley. So I got this Harley. And then yesterday we turned up outside Harley Davidson and I dropped it.
Oh, shit. There's
no damage or anything, but it just went. And I was like, oh, God, there's 50 people stood outside it. And I'm like, first one to drop their bike. And I was like, but it's been enjoyable. It's been different.
Yeah.
It's a different ride completely.
So, last year's was good, though. And the year before in Ireland, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't do that. It was wet.
But right. taking it...
It's been quite wet today.
It has.
You know, taking it international last year was great.
Yeah.
You know, that was a hell of...
But you're back circling the kind of UK and the north, aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We're going to your shop.
Finishing at our shop, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, on Thursday. Yeah, so finishing in Southport.
And I'm going because I hosted a few years back, didn't I?
Yeah.
And you came to my shop. Yep. So I felt really bad if I didn't. And the second leg is Bedford, which is super close to where I live. And I was like, I could just do Bedford and home. And then I was like, I feel bad. Oh, I was like, no, I've got to go to his shop.
Does that mean a lone ride back from Bedford on your own?
Yeah. I was like,
no, you'd have a few boys with you, though, won't you?
Yeah.
There'll be a few heading down.
I've got to see if the bike makes it.
Love it.
So, yeah, we go to Whitstable.
Beautiful.
So we'll go.
Oysters on the beach for breakfast. And then
tomorrow?
Southampton after that. And then... Yeah. Bedford and then Southport.
Well, that's the really nice bit. I really enjoy chatting to you guys because I think so much of it is about stuff outside of the shop.
What we've actually done with the Barb's Ride, it's the amount of cash we've raised over the years.
Mental amounts of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it is really good. It is a good course. And we get to hang out and ride motorbikes, which is.
But that's the nice thing about our industry that I've really really continue to enjoy year after year as I've
my clients thrive on it as well. I mean, I guess your clients do as well. You know, you build them up over the year and
my clients are a bit like, oh, you're going off riding motorbikes, good. Yeah, I am. They don't care about anything else. They're just like, when are you back?
You get a lot of interest off the clients. It's good.
Yeah.
It'll give you support.
But it does, though. I think it is always bits that reflect when you do stuff like this, when you're doing shades, when you're doing pictures, all these things, they do essentially all lead back to your stores. Mm. It all leads back to what you're doing, to your staff, to your clients, to your business. Mm. Even fuck arsing around on a motorbike for 5-6 days.
Yeah, in cold and wet.
Yeah, which again, you know, is a great
soul destroying course. Sometimes, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It absolutely destroys you.
In certain times today.
Guys, thank you very much for your time. It's been really nice chatting to you. It's lovely catching the warmth between you two because it is obviously you are quite good old mates, and it's really lovely when that happens on these episodes that we get a couple of people who are matey.
You've got to have someone that leads you astray, haven't you?
Hey. Oh, come on, mate. There we go. You heard it here. We found who is leading Baldy astray. Baldy is always the innocent bystander.
Always.
Love it. Well, I think the big thing is this industry is full of so many opportunities to network, to meet up, to join in. And I think if you're finding yourself all alone in your barbershop, working alone in your studio, working with a team of people, but not having that much fun, there is an industry here that will welcome you. Do get to the events.
Completely.
Do have a look at the charity events. See what you can get involved in, because all these guys have been such good fun. Everyone's had such a nice thing. And for us, they've always been really warm and welcoming. If you see them, go up, ask them a question, shake their hands. That's all I do. It's just we have Luke capturing it for us week after week. Guys, thank you very much. I'm Anthony LeBan, and we've been the Noble Barber Podcast. Thanks very much. Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch. And come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.